This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillah wahda, wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected brothers and elders, we begin by praising Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are approaching the month of Ramadan, and there are many objectives which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned about Ramadan. In today's talk, as I like to enumerate my points because of the attention deficit order that we have in today's time, we don't have much concentration. So I'm going to say inshallah today, amongst the objectives mentioned in the Holy Quran and the Hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I will present three important objectives that we should try and pursue in the month of Ramadan. The first of which is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us an amalgamation of both body and spirit. Both we have to fulfill our material needs and our spiritual needs. We have two needs. We have our physical needs and we have our spiritual needs. The sad part and the tragedy is today you and I, we have only given preference and priority and has only regarded our material and physical needs as the be-all and the end-all of our existence. And we feel that that is the only thing that we have to fulfill. We have no added responsibility. And this is a gross mistake. And today, together with our material needs and our physical needs, we have to fulfill our spiritual needs. And today, one of the tragedies is that our material and physical needs and our physical desires have been given so much of importance. We have been so much enticed towards it, whether it be through the means of advertising. Everything is calling you towards the fulfillment of your desires and the fulfillment of your physical needs. Obey your thirst. Just do it. All of that has got a subtle message. Just fulfill your desires, fulfill your material needs, your physical needs. There's nothing else that matters. But the reality of the situation is, just as we have to fulfill our physical and material needs within the confines of Sharia, which Allah Ta'ala has told us, talabul halali faridatun, the acquiring of halal risk to fulfill your needs is a religious obligation. But beyond that, there is another obligation. Beyond that, there is another need that we have to fulfill. In the very same hadith which we quote to speak about the fulfillment of our material needs, that same hadith tells us, talabul halali faridatun ba'dal farida, the acquiring of halal risk is a religious responsibility, ba'dal farida, after your primary religious obligation. And what is that? The fulfillment of your spiritual needs. And spirituality is not nourished, is not fulfilled by material things, wealth. It is to do with the heart. And the heart is the center of the fulfillment of our spiritual needs. And that heart, that is why our happiness, the fulfillment of our spirituality, the fulfillment of our spiritual needs has got to do with the heart. Happiness, contentment, satisfaction, spirituality has got to do with the heart. We have never ever heard anyone saying that, you know, my ears are happy today, or my nose is very satisfied and pleasurable today. Why? Because it's got not to do with the physical organs, it's got to do with the heart. Even our happiness, which today everyone strives for, it's got to do with the heart. There's a little bit of a humorous incident, let me briefly make mention of it. They say a king became depressed. So the Hakim that was treating him said, very easy that you can come to, you know, cure him, is let him wear the kurta of someone who is very happy. Let him wear the kurta of someone that is very happy, and immediately he will be cured. So the aides and the courtiers of the king, they said, well, this is a very easy task. Let us look at it, we'll try and work towards it. They went to all the ministers, the people who were close to the king. They said, give us one of your kurtas. Why? The Hakim had said that the king must wear the kurta of someone very happy and he will be cured. They say, we got dozens of kurta, we are not happy. You can, how much kurta as you want you can take, but we are not happy. So they increased the search. Everywhere they went, everyone in the same situation. Why, we got enough kurtas, but we're not fully happy. Everyone got challenges. So eventually they went out towards the village. One day they saw a person who was, you know, taking a bath on the streams, on the river. And he was like, you know, laughing. And he was very happy. He gave every reason to feel that he was happy. And they said, here we found the person. So they went to him and said, give us one kurta of yours. You will become very wealthy. You know, that kurta, we will give it to the king. The king will reward you. She said, why do you need it? He said, this is the reason. He said, they want the kurta of someone who is very happy. He said, I'm very happy, but I got no kurta. Everyone who had kurta was not happy. The person who was happy had no kurta. You see, that happiness is to do with the heart. Rather, spirituality has got to do with our turning towards Almighty Allah. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed, telling us, increase your تعلق with the kalam of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كتب عليكم الصيام. Even fasting which is in Ramadan, Allah ta'ala says, I have made it compulsory upon you. لعلكم تتقون, that you turn towards Almighty Allah. You gain the fulfillment and you gain the recognition of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers, this is such an important part of our life. If we do not fulfill the spiritual needs, there is a vacuum in our life. That vacuum manifests itself in various ways. My own view, that many a times people that go into drug addiction is because they feel that there is a vacuum in our life and we are fulfilling it with something that gives us pleasure. Something that gives us some sort of added dimension in our life. Not realizing that that vacuum that you are seeking to fulfill, that vacuum that you are seeking to fulfill was supposed to be filled. In what? In remembering your Creator. Allah, بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَتْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ, says Allah in the Holy Quran. You know, the word Allah is a very amazing word in the Arabic language. Allah, it is like someone telling you, listen to me, I'm telling you something very important. Allah is telling us in the Holy Quran, Allah, Allah, be very careful. I'm warning you. I'm emphasizing upon you. Only in the remembrance of Allah will hearts find contentment. Only in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala will hearts find contentment. Peace, satisfaction, contentment of real happiness, real contentment will only come in zikr of Almighty Allah. If you neglect the remembrance of Allah, wallahi, you will never gain true happiness, true contentment, true satisfaction. And I ask you the question, that how can you gain happiness? How can you gain satisfaction when you disobey the Creator of happiness? How can you gain satisfaction when you disobey the Creator of satisfaction and happiness? Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ذَنْكَ, says Allah in Surah Taha. Whoever turns away from remembering Allah, I will make his life restricted. Allah warns us, if you don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will find there will be a restricted life. There will be no fulfillment, no contentment, no happiness. And even your needs, even your material needs will not be fulfilled. Because sometimes, you know, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَيْسَ الْغِنَىٰ عَنْ كَثْرَةِ الْعَرْضِ وَلَكِنَّ الْغِنَىٰ غِنَىٰ النَّفْسِ. Prosperity and wealth is not to do with the amount of wealth that you got, but it's got to do with the heart. And if you're not remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not find this. Ramadan is a month for us to turn towards Almighty Allah, to fulfill the spiritual needs. 11 months we gave priority to our material needs. Let for once, in the month of Ramadan, put everything on the back burner. Turn towards Almighty Allah. Read Quran. Learn, make zikr of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make with the Quran, make tilawat. Try to understand the proper meaning of the Holy Quran. You know, people today, as the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali said, I saw people making such ibadat in Ramadan. If it is not that I saw it myself, perhaps I would not have believed it. I will give you one example I saw with my own eyes. I spent the Ramadan once with a very pious person, you know, Shah Abdul Aziz Rai Puri Rahmatullah Ali in Pakistan once. It was widely assumed that he made one khatam of the Quran a day, and I saw it myself. He used to start after Ishraq, and he used to sit because of his knees, and he used to sit and make tilawat of the Holy Quran in Nafil Namaz, and used to see him reading like this. From Ishraq till before Zawal, he used to be in Nafil Namaz. And before Zawal, he used to tell, and he used to lie down, and he used to tell someone, read Quran while I'm, you know, sleeping. So he used to sleep for a little while before Zohar. After Zohar, read his Zohar Namaz, start again with Nafil Namaz. From Zohar till Asr. I saw it with my own eyes. I'm not saying we can do that much. But Wallahi al-Azim, my dear respected brothers, turn towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan. Strengthen our relationship with Allah. The first thing. The second objective, the second goal, also made mention in the hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Huwa shahrul muwasat." It is a month of kindness and compassion. Brothers, kindness and compassion has such great emphasis in our sharia. Inna Allah yuhibbul muhsinin. Allah loves those who are kind. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Aisha, "Ya Aisha, iyakum wa alaykum bir rifq." Go and adopt kindness. Because inna Allah rafiq yuhibbul rifq wa yu'ti min ar-rifq ma la yu'ti min al-unf. Allah Ta'ala loves kindness, and He gives for kindness that which He does not give for harshness. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said in a hadith, in one hadith, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a household, inna Allah idha ahabba baytihi, whenever Allah loves a household, adkhala alayhim urrif, He brings kindness into that home. Whenever you want to know whether Allah loves your home or not, see how you are communicating with the people in the house. If you are communicating with kindness and compassion, know it is a sign that Allah's rahmat is upon that house. But if in that house people are shouting at one another, they are harsh with one another, they are not showing compassion to one another, then know that Allah Ta'ala's rahmat and mercy is away from that house. Brothers, how do we gain kindness and compassion? The one thing that I always tell people, it's very difficult to gain kindness and compassion when you are eating 3 square meals a day. That's a reality why we can't gain compassion. And you all heard about the French Revolution. When the French Revolution started and the people who were in the hierarchy, they were told that the people are protesting because they are hungry. They don't have bread. So what did the hierarchy and the monarchy tell them? If they don't have bread, tell them to go and eat cake. They couldn't understand that people were hungry. They didn't forget cake. They didn't have nothing to fulfill their hunger. Because they were satiated. When we are having 3 full meals a day, where are we going to gain compassion and kindness? And there is a reason why we don't have compassion and kindness towards people. I mean, today, look at the situation in the world. In the age of mass media, 30,000 people are killed, and the world can do nothing and sit in silence. It is a clear indication that we have no care and compassion in our heart. Where is that kindness and compassion to turn towards people, to look at their difficulty, to understand their difficulty, to come to their assistance? This was a hallmark of our faith. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made mention of it so much that you turn towards. And Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day told people, it is compulsory for you to give sadaqah on every joint of your body. Ya Rasulullah, we don't have the wealth. Sahaba were poor. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I'm not saying that you must only give wealth. Just be kind and compassionate. Sometimes helping a person is sadaqah. Taking a person across the road who is old is sadaqah. And if you can't do that, oh my sahaba, smile at your next Muslim brother. Smile at your next Muslim brother. Be careful of the sisters. Anyway, what I'm saying is smile at your next Muslim brother. And Allah Ta'ala says, and that is also a sadaqah. Every good word, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said a sadaqah. Where do we have the kindness and compassion to come to the assistance? Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala's one incident come to mind. Every day after Fajr, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala used to go to one particular place. Even while he was a Khalifa. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala one day said, let me go and, you know, where is Abu Bakr the Khalifa going? Went to the outskirts of, you know, the city, and went and saw him entering the house of someone. Now Umar radiallahu ta'ala's curiosity also became, you know, aroused. What exactly is happening here? So after a while, he went to that house and said, you know, find out, found out is a blind woman. She could not take care of her own needs. The Khalifa used to come every morning, sweep her house. That time you never used to get, you know, water. He used to make arrangements with regard to the water and keep everything for her with regard to her needs and go away. And Umar radiallahu anhu started saying, "Oh Abu Bakr, you have left such a difficulty for the people and legacy for people to follow you afterwards." After Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu passed away, the narrations make mention. One aspect of the narration says that Umar radiallahu anhu went to go and help and assist her. He said, "The way Abu Bakr used to go and help and assist her, let me go and help and assist her." And when he went there, you know, he also put whatever he could. He left some dates. And the woman turned around and said, "What happened to the person who used to come before?" And Umar radiallahu anhu used to think, she's a blind woman. What does she know who is fulfilling her needs? Whether it is Abu Bakr or Umar. What difference does it make? And she said, when he left the dates, he took out the puts. When he left the dates, he took out the puts. And he left it in such a way that it could be easier for me to. Where is our kindness and compassion to be able to come to the assistance of other people? Allah, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Huwa shahrul muwasat." It is a month of kindness and compassion. Brothers, let us build our kindness and compassion, which unfortunately we no more have. And then Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Huwa shahrul sabr." And the third reason and the third goal that we could work towards achieving in the month of Ramadan, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Huwa shahrul sabr. Wa sabru thawabuhu al-jannah." It is a month of patience, and the reward of patience is Jannah. Now today you and I, when we look at patients from our Indo-Pakistan background, many of us are there, not everyone, we look at sabr in a very restricted and confined way. So for us, sabr is someone does you something bad, you make sabr upon it. Someone slaps you on one cheek, you give the other cheek also to have for him to slap. That's not the right concept, but I'm just giving our understanding of sabr. Or if there's any difficulty that comes upon you, you are supposed to make sabr. Now, in the Arabic language, and from the Sharia terminology, sabr is much more vast. It is a quality that encompasses the two things that I have made mention. Yes, make sabr upon difficulty that comes upon you. Make sabr upon the inconvenience that come upon you from other people. Wasbir ala ma yaqulun, says Allah Ta'ala. Make sabr upon what the people are telling you and abusing you is also part of sabr. But it is much more vast than that. It encompasses resoluteness. It encompasses perseverance. Wastaqim kama umirt. Be steadfast upon what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded you. It encompasses courage, self-control. All of that is part of sabr. Maybe let me just give you the root word of sabr. The word sabr comes from the Arabic word sabbar. Sabbar is the aloe vera tree. The aloe vera tree grows in the desert, and it grows in very harsh terrain and harsh circumstances and environment. Most of the time, the environment in the desert is there is no water, there is drought, there is heat. And despite all of that, the aloe vera tree grows in such an environment, and it still provides, of course, the aloe vera is used for healing properties. Despite growing in such harsh terrain, harsh circumstances, harsh environment, the aloe vera tree still thrives and prospers and still gives its healing properties despite the circumstances and the harsh terrain in which it grows. That, our ulama say, is the meaning of sabr. Despite the circumstances, despite the situation and the challenges, a mu'min and a believer remains steadfast upon the commands of Allah Ta'ala. No matter what happens. Zafar aadmi usko na janiyega. Khwa ho kitna hi sahib faham wa zaka. Bahadur Shah Zafar, the last Mughal Empire, was a man of letters. So one of his poems he read, "Don't regard Zafar as a human being." She said, "Aish mein yaad khuda na rahi." She said, "Tesh mein khauf khuda na raha." Who doesn't remember Allah in times of ease and doesn't fear Allah in his anger? What does it mean? A believer is always conscious of Allah Ta'ala irrespective of the circumstances. He is perseverant upon every aspect of the commands of Allah, despite the challenges. Ulama have written that sabr has three manifestations. Sabr upon difficulties, which is a very popular meaning of sabr, and I don't have the time to go into the reward with regard to that. Although we always make dua, and everyone must make this dua. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam told his uncle Abbas, "Oh Abbas, always ask Allah for afiyat. Ask Allah for afiyat, ease and well-being. Don't ask Allah for difficulty." So we never ask Allah for difficulty. But one point of sabr is sabr upon difficulty. You know, second thing, ulama have written, sabr ala ta'atillah. Sabr and discipline in complying with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have to comply. Isbaghul wudu'i ala al-makari. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made mention of the reward of making wudu in a cold morning. Similarly, with regard to the discipline required in Ramadan with regard to good deeds. That is also the sabr of ta'at, the sabr of discipline to do that good deeds. And the last one is sabr an ma'asiyatillah. The sabr, the self-control required to save yourself from prohibitions and haram. When you are seeing haram or doing haram, it requires self-control to stay away from it. So you see a woman who catches your fancy and is attractive and you feel like looking at her. It is sabr, that self-control, that makes you cast your gaze down and said no. Allah in the Quran says, "Qul lil mu'minin yaghuddu min absarihim." Tell unto the believers that they must cast their gaze down whenever there is a fitna. So that is the three aspects. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this particular aspect is sabr thawabuhul jannah. This one is the month of sabr. And the reward of sabr is jannah. Let me conclude with the hadith that Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you know, the malaika comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say, "Oh Allah, how do we record the reward of a person who is fasting? If a person reads two rakats namaz, he reads half supara, we can record it. He read two rakats, he read half supara. Here a person is doing nothing. How do we record his deeds? He's staying away from things. He's not doing something. How do we record it?" This is where the hadith comes in. That Allah Ta'ala tells the malaika, "Oh my angels, you can't record it. As-sawmuli, fasting is for me. Only I know the difficulty of the person going through fasting. There is only one good deed that there is no riya in it. There is no name and fame in it. You can go and eat in one corner of the house, no one will know. There is only one good deed that there is no pride in it, and that is fasting. And therefore Allah Ta'ala tells the malaika, don't record it. It's for me, I myself will reward it." And that is the sabr, which is part of which you must strive to achieve. And let me conclude. Three things and objectives I'm putting in front of you. Strengthen our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have kindness and compassion. Inculcate kindness and compassion, which Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam made mention of as an objective. And adopt sabr. وَالصَّبْرُ ثَوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ. May Allah give us a tawfiq. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.